Morning, Tom. W2T Mobile.
Morning, Rusty. Morning, Tom. KO4NUE.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to hear you both this morning. Oh, well, I had a doctor's appointment canceled about 10 minutes till 9 this morning, so my doctor decided not to come in down at the VA, so they started to reschedule it, and the phone system dropped out down there. And you know how that is. Getting into one of those places now, press this, press that, press something else if you're going to commit suicide. Yeah, if you got an emergency, dial 911, yada, yada, yada. And sometime down the line, I finally got a person, and they were in Florida. Go ahead, Rusty.
Well, I'm up in the big area of Boiling Springs, South Carolina, because I've got to come up here and do a home inspection this morning, and one of two today. So I'm wandering around up in here looking for the place I'm supposed to be, and I got a feeling I made the turn, that I'm on the, says I'm on the right road, but the name on the road says Craftsman Lane, and then it tells me, so obviously I think it's bringing me in behind where I'm supposed to be. Oh well, and good morning, Chad, go ahead.
Thomas, KO4NUE. So, Tom, I just want to let you know if you use the secure messaging through My Healthy Vet, boy, that sure is a whole lot easier. And there's a written record of, you know, what transpired between you and the VA concerning, you know, whatever conversation you may have had. And it sure is a whole lot less frustrating. But, you know, not trying to get in your business or nothing, but I just got tired of not being able to talk with anybody on the phone. And then it's, well, you know, we don't have any record of that conversation. Who did you talk to? And I just said, okay. So I switched over to My Healthy Vet, and it's made all the difference.
Whatsoever, Chad, anytime that you want to intervene in my business. Well, I do use that, especially when it comes to prescriptions, and it does work most effectively. I never thought about it in this instance because the lady said, she sounded like she's half asleep, the first one. And the second one that called, that I finally got a hold of, she sounded like she was half asleep. And I was surprised to get a call. It was 10 minutes to 8, wasn't it, Bernice?
Yeah.
And at any rate, they got it cleared up and got me scheduled with another appointment. And I felt lucky to get a human being. But I'll try that next time for that. Scheduling, I just figured I had to go through Columbia or something. And oh, my. But she was helpful. Well, Chad, I got everything laid out, ready for the experiment on the projectile. I went and bought some new welding gloves yesterday because mine were so stiff that I throwed them out. And bought a smaller pair of safety wire pliers. I think it might be easier than my great big ones. And then a couple of spools of little bitty safety wire just for the heck of it. Oh, they've been putting out nice fresh asphalt on this road. Wonderful. Down here by DJW's place right now. Anyways, go ahead, Rusty. This is N0TR.
Good. At least they called you before you were on your way down there, hopefully, and let you know. So, anyway, well, I think I've about found where I'm supposed to be. So I'm going to sign for right now so I can get this done over here at my first stop. Because now I got to, from here at Boiling Springs, I got to go over and do one over in Lyman. And they don't take very long, but they're just a pain in the butt to get out here and find them sometimes. All right. Well, I'll talk to both of you in a little bit. I'll be back on the air when I get through. Talk to you shortly. W2T.
Roger. I'm just going around some these asphalt trucks here. It's a little iffy because there's oncoming traffic. Go ahead, Chad.
First of all, good morning, Miss Bernice. How are you? And Tom, when you're doing your experiment today, cast the first one without wire, just to check fitment, because we suspect fitment is going to be an issue. But once you cast that first one and it's clean, let me have it. I'll machine it down to the proper size and then measure that. In other words, I'll machine it down to what fits properly, then rebore the next hole to that size, and then you can go on with, you know, go on with the experiment.
I heard a little double in there a minute ago, but not sure. Okay, so cast one today without any wire in it, and then check the OD on it. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we suspect the OD is going to be too tight or too big, but that's okay. I'll chuck it up between two cones and machine it down to the proper size, and then measure, then rebore, and then you go on with your putting your twisted wire and all that in there.
By golly. Well, I had to dig out all my stuff, and I couldn't find my ingot mold. And you kind of like to, when you first heat that thing up, you kind of like to have that ingot mold underneath the sprue spout under there, in case you get any leakage or anything. So I hurried up and ordered one from Amazon. It was really cheap, and it looks it, too. It's a Lee mold, I have to say. Their casting is about as raw as you can get. It's aluminum, though. But I got a great big one that's cast iron from the old days. And I've put it in one of those special places. You know how that is, where you can't ever find it again. But that was the only drawback. This Lee casting thing that I got, I used to have a Lyman. It was a good one, and I don't remember what happened with it. I think I tried to drill out the sprue spout just a little bit and loused it up or something. But at any rate, you buy a good RCBS one now, and it's about $329. So I thought, no, no. And I found my Lee casting pot, and it's 20 pounds, which is big enough. And I found the invoice on it and everything right inside of it. And it was like $69, Jim Chen. That beats $329.
It's KO4NUE with N0TR. So, yeah, you can use a small bread pan or something just to keep stuff off of the table. I always put a piece of steel under mine in case I need to walk away and, you know, the material drips out. Don't set the table on fire. But don't ask me how I know that, okay? But that's been my experience with it anyway.
Chad.
Well, we've all had those instances. And you do realize that if there's one speck of water gets near that, it or in it, it will explode.
Violently. Any molten metals like that, brass especially. Brass is pretty violent, actually. I do some casting work. I'm not good at it. But I can do some really rough stuff, and then, you know, let the machines take care of the rest, clean it up and all. But it just makes it a lot easier if you can pour a rough shape and then do what you machine down what you need.
and your old TR with KO4NUE. Yes, I would concur with that. That would be nice to have that ability, I'll tell you. Well, I'm kind of anxious to see how this turns out. I know it'll take some time and experimentation, but it's not like we're pressed for time. I just wanted to do it out there on the back porch rather than or on a table out there behind the garage because of the smoke that comes off of it. And I know that will need fluxing just a little bit. So it will smoke. And I didn't want to take a chance of any moisture being around that sucker. And I haven't had good luck whenever I cast it when it was, the humidity was high. Now, that might sound crazy, but that's in my memory banks from years ago. And I've been wanting to do some of these special 357 bullets for my son-in-law. I give him the 357 years ago, Chad, it was a Model 27 Smith, and which I've given him all my guns, basically, and he liked it because it was a very special mold, 215 grains, and a 357 is rather rare, and it was a semi-wad cutter gas jet, and he's been begging me to cast him some for the last couple of years. And I've been lazy about it. I've loaded him a lot, but I haven't casted any. But I don't even own one, so I will get it done. He shot a deer with it 1 year, so they work pretty good.
I understand. It's what you get things set up and you get into a rhythm. You know, for me, it's all about a rhythm. I try to work from left to right on everything. And do, you know, 15 of this step and 15 of that step and 15 of that step. And it's quite a process, but once you actually get the material you can work with, then you have to reset everything else up. You know, you have to pretty much keep the casting separate from the actual reload. And then you start to step up again, or process up again. So that's a good rainy day thing, you know, when it's rainy and miserable cold, and just turn on the radio, sit back.
That's the truth. I used to sit out and chunk out 500 to 1,000 of them with a two-cavity mold, and that takes some time. But even as the level changes in the pot, it changes, and I like them to come out about 18 Brunel, and I would take a gunny sack and put it in a 5 gallon bucket, and that's rather hard. Linotype's 22, I'm sure you know, but I'd like to get them up around 18, whereas a normal one around 13 Brunel. And those cockeyed things you buy at the dealers were like 10. And they just led the dickens out of your barrel, like from Spear and Hornaday and that. Their cast lead bullets were terrible. And so I like to get them up around 18 Brunel. And so I drop them in water, and then they go to the bottom, and they'd land on a gunny sack. And that worked really well.
Let me tell you a little trick here. Lowe's, go to the herbicide department. They've got a product they sell that's copper sulfate. It's copper crystals. It'll just be royal blue, and it's for root systems growing into a septic tank. So what I do is take the copper sulfate, pour it in a tub of water, and a piece of copper pipe for a sacrificial piece and a battery charger less than 2 amps. And it takes a long time now as far as the process goes, but just take the castings and plate them with electrolysis and put you a thin coat of copper on that lead material, and that drastically cuts down on how much the barrel's leaded up. Like I said, it's a process, but it works really well. Just electroplate, you know, about 2,000's worth of material on the linotype, and it bring the accuracy up a little bit too, but it sure does keep the barrel clean.
GR, wow. I'm impressed, Chad. I didn't know you was that smart. I knew better. But I'd never heard of doing that, and I've seen a lot of different things done. But that sounds great. You know, you can buy those berry bullets that are thin-skinned, but you can't shoot them at max velocities, which I never shoot. I never did in the old days when I used to shoot max velocities. So they worked really, really well, and they were a thin jacket. But doing it yourself, wow, I'm impressed, buddy. You've seen a lot.
You get you a handful of them when you get, you know, cast me some for, you know, for, I don't know, testing is the wrong word, but cast me a single handful, and I'll get things set up and show you the end result, and then if that's something you're interested in, I'll show you kind of how to do all that. But like I said, it works really nice, especially on, you know, rifle stuff. The ones you have to gas check makes a pretty nice bullet, and that does a really good job too. It's just like I said, it's a process. Take some time, but you know, it beats, you know, $2.50 a bullet, depending on what the bullet is.
Hey, yes sir, I could I understand what you're saying. Yeah, if it's a big bullet, it's going to get a little expensive. No, that's very interesting. I used to have a buddy that he did everything in the world to shoot max velocities, and I just found that, for example, in the .22-250, if you load it down around 3,500 instead of 3,850 or something, that the accuracy improved immensely, and without any appreciable change, up to about 300 yards. And because heck, the ARs were running 33. And I'd get them down around 3,500. I think it was 53 grains. Oh, I don't know, it was 30, 31 or what, Chad. I can't remember now. I think it was in that particular case. And boy, the accuracy was incredible. It really was, out of my old Model 70. But these guys, they always want to push the envelope and run the pressures high, and all that does is burn the throats out and craps up the actions, and it's just not necessary, really. And I used to shoot a lot of cast lead bullets in 30-06. Yeah, they were gas checked, 190 grain, and they worked really well out to 150 yards. And heck, they go through there was a guy, a farmer out there, had a car body, and they'd go right on through it. And they were about 18 Brunel. So, a lot of fun in that. And I'm getting old. I usually, in the latter years, I'd just buy them from Missouri Bullet, and they were already hard cast. You know, my Rooster Red and all of that stuff's probably moldy now by the time I look at it.
I understand. Well, just cast me some for, you know, so I can show you. Like I said, it does work out pretty good. But anyway, I'm on Highway 11 headed to check on my bud this morning. And figured I'd jump up on the radio, kind of see, you know, what's going on. And there you and Rusty are, so got to talk with both of you today. But give me that slug when you're done, and let me finish the mold up. I know it's not gonna work, but that's part of it, trying to figure out exactly, you know, what size it is, because the PVC is not consistent all the way down the launcher, and that's gonna be the struggle. I can get close measuring, but at the end of the day, it's all about what fits and what won't. And this is probably about the only way I can figure that out.
Well, thanks, Chad. I appreciate it. It's kind of excited me, I'll tell you. It'll be a lot of fun. Well, I know what tour is, but this guy next to me that just pulled in here at Aldi's, his car is two-tone rust and a little bit of blue, and that poor sucker's so poor that when he put his cigarette out, he laid the rest of the butt on the trunk so he can come back and get it. Think I ought to swipe that cigarette?
I believe I'd leave it right there where it is and just find something else to be mischievous about today, but I don't think that's it.
Well, it might save his life, Chad. That's all I was thinking of. You know, I wouldn't want to do it to be mischievous. shoot. Well, when you see Chris, slap him around a little bit and just show him that the Army's superior to the Marine Corps, and tell him Tom sent that message up there.
I will. I got a feeling he's probably got a few things to say about that, but I'll pass along the message. I might even throw a gouge in there myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go inside. Bernice's in Aldi's. Means that doctor's appointment was canceled. We're going to go there and run across the street to the most dangerous parking lot in the world. That would be Wally World. I was just thinking about my old buddy there. Back in the old shooting days, he had a 30 Herod and a Contender in that. And I think it was, what's the white stuff that's real slick? Anyways, he'd spray the Teflon. He sprayed the bullets with Teflon in order to try to get higher velocities. Now, that's really digging down in the bottom of the bucket. I'll show you. I know if I ever sent you a picture of that .44 Magnum, that was Arkansas John, that he completely blowed up. He forgot to put a primer in one of the cartridges, and he was out by himself, and he liked beer. You know, like the song says, I like beer. And I keep that picture right above the loading bin so that it reminds me, you know, the error is human, but it isn't when it comes to reloading. Because it actually blew that Super Blackhawk in half. It's just amazing that he didn't get killed or kill somebody else. But he was one of the good old boys. You could hear him laugh from 100 yards away, Chad. And you know how that is. Certain guys laugh different ways. But he was a good man. Take care, Chad. Really enjoyed it this morning. And we'll catch you down the line. KL4NUE and 0TR73.
You have a wonderful day, bud. Nice talking to you. It's KL4NUE, mobile.